always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. The U.S. has confirmed there is a ceasefire and hostage release deal between Israel and Hamas. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office says some final details still need to be worked out. That's Israeli President Isaac Herzog urging Israel's cabinet to approve the deal. President Biden says he's deeply satisfied this day has come.
Any final remains of hostages who have been killed will be returned to their families. And a major reconstruction plan for Gaza will begin.
In Tel Aviv, CBS's Remy Innocencio says the hostages will be released in three phases.
And as we know, that there are seven Israeli Americans among these 98 Israeli hostages. And three of those are still believed to be alive. We expect, though, that those three will not come out over the first phase, over the first 6 weeks.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community. For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two people were injured in a bus crash in Lincoln County. Brittany Merlot has more.
The sheriff's office says that they got a call about a school bus versus an SUV accident just before 7:30 yesterday morning. The crash was on STH 17 near CTHG in the town of Merrill. The school bus was taking children to school, heading north on 17, when the school bus driver attempted to turn west onto G. The driver of the bus stated he thought he had enough time to make the turn, was hit by an SUV traveling south on 17. One passenger from the SUV and one student from the bus were transported by ambulance for what appeared to be minor injuries. The crash remains under investigation, and at this time, no citations have been issued.
Good news in the aftermath of the Abundant Life Christian School shooting. The two victims still in the hospital have now been upgraded to good condition. The day of the shooting, the two students were in critical condition. Around Christmas, they were deemed to be in fair condition, so this is another step forward. This may be our last update on them for a while, at least from UW Health. Staff said now that they're in a good place in their recovery, they'll prioritize the patient's privacy. If you're a senior and you'd like to get help with your taxes, you can set up your appointment beginning next week in Wisconsin Rapids. Starting on January 20th, you can call the Lowell Senior Center to make your appointment. They're partnering with AARP to provide free tax counseling for those who meet the criteria. This is intended for low to middle income taxpayers with special attention to those age 60 and older. Appointments will begin on February 5th and run through April 9th. You can make your appointment by calling 715-422-2778 starting next week Monday. That number again is 715-422-2778. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
Greg Gard gets number 200. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. Wisconsin held on at the Kohl Center to win 70-68 over The Ohio State. Badgers head coach Greg Gard with his 200th career win.
As I told the team downstairs, I mean, it's a lot of hard work by a lot of people putting me in this position and a lot of people that should go on that 200.
In Chicago, number 7th ranked Marquette beat DePaul in overtime 85-83. NBA, the Bucks took over early and beat the Kings 130-115, ending Sacramento's 7-game winning streak. NFL, with the loss of Christian Watson to a torn ACL, Jets wide receiver Davante Adams on what he thinks the Packers should do next.
It's looking right now like obviously they might need some receiver help in one way or the other just based off of what they have available. And, you know, maybe a veteran or something in there. I don't know. We'll see.
That's former Packer Davante Adams with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Have you listened to Community Stories yet? The show that features voices from right here in our community? Well, for the month of January, you can catch up on podcasts of past episodes on our website at civicmedia.us. The show's going on vacation for a month, but Community Stories will return in February, tanned and well-rested. Okay, maybe not, but the stories will be fresh and engaging. Keep your dial tuned to WFHR for updates on the new schedule, guests, and stories from right here in our community.
breezy today and becoming cloudy. As winds switch to out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles per hour, it'll shove our highs to near 20 degrees. And we've got light snow moving in this evening. Mainly after 5 o'clock, it'll wind down in the overnight hours. Accumulations look around a half an inch. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 19.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author Jody Hinman into the studio. Then director Anders Lindwall joins the show to discuss his film Green and Gold. That's how you light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, January 15, 2024. I have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 4:30 today, we're going to talk to our great friends over at the Wood County Health Department. Looking forward to them joining us in just a little bit. Right now, we have in studio Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher with us. Matt, good to see you.
Morning, James.
Good to have good you to with us. You. Yep. And, of course, we want to send a shout-out to our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Love our friends over there. Appreciate the great work that they do. Check out that great work by going to YouTube, type into your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page and keep up to date on all the great work they are doing. Matt, Happy New Year. How you been?
Happy New Year to you also. Very good. Yeah, it was great. Great time. We got some time off. It was nice to take a little bit of a break after the whirlwind of the first 8 months and just decompress a little bit and kind of refocus. So it was good.
The holidays are a marathon. You got to pace yourself. You have to breathe. You remember to breathe throughout it and everything. That's just in general. But then you add on, like you said, just starting this new position, you know, into it for a while, but still kind of getting your bearings, I imagine, a bit. So you throw that into the mix. Had to have been a wild set of holidays for you. I imagine taking a breath right now into the new year feels good.
Yeah, it's good. And again, refocus. Like, you know, you come in with a set of ideas as to how things are going to go, and a lot changes in that time, but yet you've got to stay focused on the things that you know you need to accomplish, reprioritize. So I do think it's been good, and I'm hitting the ground again and getting going to make some of the changes that I know need to be made to help out the next year. And then crazy enough, once this year's closing down, I'm looking at a campaign for another 2 years. So it's an interesting cycle to try to run on a 2-year plan. Mm-hmm. That's not easy to do. So, but at the same time, it is what it is. Everybody says, well, if we like you, we keep you. If we don't, we can get rid of you. And I think that's a great idea, except for in reality, that's not the best way to really run a large organization, you know, that is your city. But at the same time, government and politics are what they are. So I get it.
It's interesting. We talk about this with sports a lot, where it's very seldom that you see they give a coach 1 year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. It takes a while, especially in college. You build recruits, all of these things. No. You would think that it would be a similar approach to something like this. I'm with you on this. I think that that's something that might have to be reimagined and re-looked at some point.
Yeah, I won't be the one to bring it forward.
And we'll see. We'll see where that one goes. You mentioned, getting the new year and the goals that you and your staff have. We'll get into some of that in a bit, and we'll talk about the ATV-UTV ordinance and some other things involved. But as far as for you, what does that mean starting the year off on the right foot, getting going, running with the adrenaline that you have from last year into this? What are you, some of your plans starting off in this year?
I kind of go, everything still fits in under my original four, platform items, which was communication, which is still a big part. And I spent a lot of time talking with the organizations that I needed to in order to build this entrepreneurial bringing together all the entrepreneurial organizations to help businesses grow and get started and thrive, really focusing on the budget, which, again, we just met last night with the council on a committee of the whole to talk about, instead of waiting till the end of 2025 to really dive into 2026, we're starting right now on 2026 so that as we're working through and getting more quarterly updates and monthly updates from the department heads, what it looks like and what it's going to look like, and then making some big decisions. Like if people really want to get rid of the debt and not take out any debt, well, that's doable, but it makes you got to make some really tough decisions. And again, if we're not doing it, then it's not worth creating all the ripples in the water that are going to cause, you know, a certain amount of chaos. So we have to make some decisions from a board council level, and then I can implement it and I can spend the whole year doing that. And I'm willing to do it as long as we know we're on the same page and we have the support for each other. And then that comes with the entrepreneurial group. And then from there was the mill, and the mill has, you know, been talked about enough right now. No real new updates. They're just making progress with the craft mill and still looking at the 16 building and figuring out what they're going to do with that. So, but outside of that, you know, I have learned that some of the big things that I want to focus on is the fire department EMS situation. We're going to have a new fire chief coming on soon. You know, getting the ground together, knowing that it's going to be a marathon. We can't look at it as, you know, what are we going to do for the next year? We really have to look at this 25 years out. Like, what do we as the entire community need in order to make this a successful program? So we'll start bringing ideas again to the table, new voices, new thoughts, and that. I really want to, you know, continue to focus on the railroad track relocation. There's some really big things. Like, if I'm only here for a short period of time, if I can make the biggest impact possible, not necessarily for legacy, but for that's what I'd like to do. I mean, it's important if we can get that track out of here. It's important. Everybody knows it's important. We've just never stuck with it long enough to be able to put it all together and make it happen. A Street's another big one that, you know, even if, you know, if we can make enough noise as a community, not just me, but, you know, if I can get enough people, you know, talking and putting pressure on to make sure it's done. But at the same time, we also need a viable plan for that street that really looks at, you know, 50 years down the road, what's going to make it more beautiful, what's going to make it safer, what's going to make it more efficient than what it is now. And we should have that plan in effect and a number to it so that then we can really put some pressure on the state to say, look, we need to get this done for not just for our community, but you got all these businesses that want to be coming in. You do have the airport there in Sand Valley. That's a part of bringing a lot of people in from around the world. And I think we want to put our best foot forward as the community of Wisconsin Rapids, but also as the state of Wisconsin.
You know, we don't plant trees for us to see them grow. We plant them for our kids to see them grow. We yeah. plant them for the younger generations. So much of what you're talking about is building a good future around here and a reliable future.
Yep.
You know, in a world where nothing it feels like can be reliable, especially if you're looking ahead or anything, what you're trying to do, what you're talking about here is not only building an economy for now, but for the future.
Yeah.
And yep. I got to say, this is very hand in hand to me with a lot of the people I talk to in the community. I would say over the past couple of years, since we put shovels in the ground for the new jail, mm-hmm. I've talked to so many people in our community, longtime members. I'm not talking about people that just moved here. I'm not even talking about 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
I'm like 30, 40 at the youngest. Most of the people I've talked to are in their 50s and 60s, longtime residents of this area, if not lived here this whole lives.
Yep.
And one of the biggest things I hear from them, man, we should have done that sooner. Man, oh, yeah. we should have done that sooner.
Yeah.
It comes up, and yeah. completely understandable. There's no point in fingers here or judgment here at all. I cannot stress that enough.
Yeah.
Hindsight is always 20/20, but they are feeling that. Yeah. They are feeling, oh, we should have done this sooner. Oh, it would have been cheaper sooner. Oh, we could have used this sooner, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I think that goes hand in hand with what you're talking about, whether it is repurposing or not purposing, but doing the bridge line, the tracks and everything, mm-hmm. and doing something with that, or having businesses in town that we know are going to stay here, that we can keep here, that kind of so many of these things. It helps us now, but it really helps us in the future.
Yeah.
That's a key part of this, and I think that's I think that's exactly what we needed in this area right now.
Yeah, it's this fine balance of, you know, there's, you know, trigger words, I guess, progressive, being, you know, looking into the future and saying we have to do this, but at the same time figuring out how to make the money work so that you're not, you know, putting yourselves in a bad situation where now you're in a weak financial position. So, you know, I've always been frustrated with that, the two different sides, the two different parties. Like, we've always understood that ultimately we're all looking for the same thing. I you can disagree with me if you want, but I say 95% of us are 95, or all of us are like 95% the same, 5% different, and wherever that 5% comes in. But ultimately we're looking for, you know, how do we take care of ourselves? How do we take care of our family? You know, take care of the bills and really focus on that. And we're all relatively conservative when it comes to that. But then when it comes to progressing in the world itself, then you get a little bit different in terms of what that looks like. And by, in all reality, it really just comes down to a play on words as to how people phrase it. Because in reality, everybody's spending money when it's in the government. They're just doing it because what I understand is we're kind of indoctrinated into this thing of government has to grow every year. Now, I don't believe that necessarily, but I've heard it enough now that I'm like, oh, so if that's what they're being taught, whether it's in the different programs that we're in, or just once you get into the government and start getting orientated into, you know, your different roles, that comes up a lot over and over again, that government has to grow every year.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We got a question from one of our listeners, and I always encourage our audience to give me questions for any of our mayor or Representative Krug or Teston or any of the people that join us. This one actually came from like 2 feet away from Pam. So I had to get this one in.
Yeah,
but she was curious about what is happening over on One Mile Creek in Wisconsin Rapids. See, the 2 Mile Avenue has been closed for several days. Big equipment over there. Can you give us an update on what's going on over there?
I did talk with Joe Eichstedt about it a little bit just to get the updates because they are busy, and winter's kind of neat because you have your big plans for the road projects during the season, the warm season that you can do that work and do it fast and well. So now is kind of the time that they fit in all these smaller projects. So the 1 Mile Creek is part of a project of keeping, it's the storm sewer retention program, or, you know, keeping the waters clean.
It's a tricky one. That's a word salad right there.
And in the end, all of that water ends up back into the river. So what the DNR wants us to be able to do is clean it as much as possible before it gets there. So then we have these, some retention ponds. I learned, you know, retention means it goes there and filters back into the ground. Detention pond means, or detention area means, it comes in, it sits for a while, and then it filters back out again. And the reason for that is to let all that sediment and all the phosphorus, all the things that they don't want to try to get into the river, although you can't stop all of it because it is naturally occurring stuff. And we're dealing with stuff downstream with the lakes down there that people are trying to control how the weeds grow and all that stuff. So it's, you know, there's a whole lot of moving parts to that whole thing. But ultimately, what's happening on 1 Mile Creek between Lincoln and 2 Mile Avenue is they're dredging it in order to give it some depth in order for the water to come in and settle that residue out and then flow back out at the top side of it and keep going. So that's the goal, is to keep our water as clean as possible.
Excellent. And it's not only appreciate the answer, but it's really appreciate the work being done on that.
Yes. Yeah.
And of course, we got to get into this one too, sir. The Wisconsin Rapids Common Council is considering a revised ATV-UTV ordinance. This is one of our main talking points over the last couple of months, if not last year. This one has been coming up. What is the new information on this? What happened the other day with this and the ordinance?
Yeah, so yeah, it's tricky. And again, I've been here 4 years now, and this isn't going away. Mm-hmm. Like, it's only going to keep coming back. But I can go back to where it started for me, and I've kind of gone through this a lot with different groups of people to try to understand. Like, my determination when I was on council was, I want everybody, as many people who are willing to try to participate in the community, aware that this is coming, that these vehicles will be on the road, and they just don't show up one day and all of a sudden, you know, we're dealing with them. So in the end, we kind of voted it down, but we wanted to send it to referendum. Well, we ended up not being able to send it to referendum because of some state statutes that were passed that says you can't, for whatever reason, you can't do it this way. And we said, okay, well, then we voted it down in order to allow the people in favor of it to get the signatures for the ordinance. Problem is, and these are all good people. You know, there's, I've met a lot of people throughout the years that are in favor of it and against it. And it's been good getting to know the people and just understand it from both sides. So that being said, the folks that were in favor of this took that ordinance and changed it, made it into what they wanted. And one of the big ones in there that became a sticking point was that 12 to 15 year olds could ride on the roads with their parents, with them in between their parents. And that, I think, you know, again, a lot of this that are against it, it's based on fear of what if, understandably so. You know, what if this happens and a 12-year-old does get hit and killed, and, you know, nobody wants that. So anyways, they brought that, they ended doing a great job, and they got it out to the community. They got all the signatures they needed. Very impressive people to be this passionate about this. But the problem was that they put the 12 to 15-year-old in there, and because of that, the council again voted it down, which then sent it to referendum on the last voting ballot. And it got voted down by the people. I don't know the exact numbers, like 5,500 to 4,500, somewhere in there. So then, but the, as the laws go, they're able to bring that back immediately anyways. Like it was, and in this instance, they're actually changing the ordinance again to go back to the older version, which was you have to be 16 years old with a driver's license to be on the roads. You have to have insurance. You can't be drinking and driving. And, you know, so there's more things that go along with it. But the monkey wrench that's thrown in there now is the people voted on it, and so now they're going to be pretty angry at the government if they don't abide by the vote, the will of the people, and vote it down. But the other variable in there, that at the same time as that referendum was being voted on, there was new aldermen being voted into their seats, and those aldermen are more inclined to be in favor of ATVs and UTVs being on the roads. Again, good people. They're not there just for one specific agenda. At least I can't tell, because they're participating in all aspects of the government to a high level, high degree, and I appreciate that. But at the same time, that brings the vote back to the table to say, well, some of those folks around the Public Works Committee, it got switched over to the Public Works because Public Works deals with everything that has to do with roads, and so they voted it through. So now it's going to go to council, and they're going to see where the votes are at. And nobody really knows, you know, nobody's out, you know, you talk to each other, you try to get some understanding of, gauge it a bit, but certainly we don't know how the vote's going to fall. The downside to this on my level is if it's a 4-4 tie, I have some talking to do, so, and decisions to be made. So I don't look forward to that, but at the same time, it's my responsibility, and I'll step up no matter what the vote comes down at. You know, we gotta keep it going. We gotta make decisions. So,
the greatest negotiators will tell you that any good negotiation, both parties leave a little unhappy, a little happy.
Yeah, it's got to be a win-win.
Yep. And that's what we're in right now. Right. We're in this situation with this. We're fine-tuning it. We're getting the details right so that when this does happen, and I'm with you, I think this is just a matter of time before this happens. It's the best thing for our community. Comparing our community to any other community, including ones that are right next door to us, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No.
Every community is different. And while there are certain communities that are desperate for this and desperately need something like this, I don't believe Wisconsin Rapids is one of them. I think this would be an addition to our community. I certainly think this would help a lot of businesses in our community. But I don't believe that this is something that, if we don't do this in the next 5 years, our community is going to dry up. I don't see that happening. I would like to see a little perspective from my fellow Wisconsin Rapidsites, however you word that. Rapidsins, Rapids people, I don't know, but we got to come up with that.
Rapid Indians,
maybe, yeah. But we are so fortunate in this community. And while things could always be better, and we could use a little more of this or a little more of that, and I'm not saying we couldn't, I think some appreciation of how good things are is also needed to be able to make these decisions. I don't think you can do one without the other. I don't think when you're sitting there voting on something like this or putting this ordinance together that you cannot take into consideration, well, our community is not desperate. We're definitely in a situation where we're not turning down businesses to want to move here or anything like that. But considering how some places look when that mill goes down compared to ours, not so bad.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Have some perspective on that. also want to send a big word out there to anybody who is working on this ordinance to join us on the air, want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I want to share the same conversations that are happening at our board meetings and at our budget sessions. Want to have them on the air here. I want to invite you all on, any of you, whether you're for or against, doesn't matter. WFHR has always walked the line. We don't take sides. We would love to have you on the air to talk about this. I do want to say a big shout out to the people that are working the grassroots effort behind this.
Yeah.
I don't ever want to discourage that, whatever the topic is. Right. Really give a big tip of the hat to all the people that have worked on that.
I did want to just say, one, to your point, Wisconsin Rapids, to a different degree or another, different names of the different sides of the river, has been here a long time before that mill was here. And it's about the people and the ingenuity of the people, the hard work of the people to create new things and get the government, you know, keep them at bay and out of the way so we can, you know, develop our ideas and move forward. And we're not going anywhere. I do want to also touch base on a little bit more of like what I learned in the last couple of years is that this isn't Wisconsin Rapids dealing with the ATV, UTV ordinance. This is statewide, all over the place. And the amount of pressure from the state to kind of, this is just my opinion. I'm not looking to, you know, make people in the state angry. Not that they're listening to me right now. Maybe they are. I don't know. But in the end, it would have been nice if the state said, you know what, this is happening and let's make it easier on everybody and just pass the statute that says these are allowed on the roads with, let's license them. Let's make sure the drivers are licensed, just like any other vehicle. If it would have just been any other vehicle, it would be fine and let the families figure out how to make that work for the trails and all that stuff for family entertainment. But they didn't. And they said, let's just let everybody create their own ordinance and then fight with each other about, you know, who gets this and who gets that and kind of create a whole lot of chaos that I don't believe needs to be there. And then that puts pressure on the county because the county wants to, you know, they have more rural areas and more rural communities. So they're trying to work with them. And they're putting some pressure on, like right now, they want us to open that 600 feet on Griffith Avenue, part of Highway Z. And, you know, that would give you access or the riders access from Port Edwards and Coosa to Grand Rapids. And it could be a good thing, but there's all sorts of other pieces to it. I think it would be that just chipping away at the iceberg. And if we can get that chip, then eventually other things will kind of come and it'll come a little bit slower. So people adjust to it and say, oh, this isn't really as big a deal as we thought it was.
Couldn't agree more. Yeah. Couldn't agree more. I wanted to mention just a couple of quick notes before we let you go. Tree pickup in our area is going on January 20th through the 24th. Make sure to get those trees out there in time. And registration is open for winter and spring programs and activities. Find out more about those. Get in, register. Especially always looking for volunteers, coaches for some of these things. Yep. Or just want to get the kids involved. Find out more at wirapids.org, wirapids.org. And, sir, if people want to get in touch with you, reach out to you about anything, how can they get a hold of you?
I have a city cell phone now, 715-315-2925. Took me a little while to memorize that number, right, so I think I'm doing pretty good now.
And
but thank you.
Yeah, and thank you, Matt. Appreciate the time. And want to send all of you to YouTube to subscribe to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's page. Keep up to date on the great work that they are doing. A big thank you to the gang over there. We'll talk again next month, sir.
Yep. Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM. WFHR, we are locally grown radio.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public. The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The elections may have passed, but some actions that were taken before them still linger here in central Wisconsin. 8 Wausau citizens have filed a formal ethics complaint against Mayor Doug Dinney with the City of Wausau Ethics Board. The Wisconsin Democracy Campaign states they're alleging improper conduct in his handling of the ballot drop box during the week of September 23, 2024. In addition, the complaint alleges that Mayor Dinney attempted to pressure the municipal clerk into drafting a resolution to ban ballot boxes. The group is now calling on the Ethics Board to conduct an investigation and ensure accountability. Winter is a slippery time of year. Here's Brittany Merlot with some tips to keep you safe.
With more snow this evening, try to reduce the use of salt at home. Shovel and clear walkways and other areas before snow turns to ice. The more snow removed manually, the less salt you'll need, and the more effective it'll be. And scatter when using salt. You want space between the grains. A 12-ounce coffee mug of salt is enough to treat an entire 20-foot driveway or 10 sidewalk squares. And salt is much less effective when pavement temperatures drop below 15 degrees. So when this happens, switch to sand for traction or a different ice melter that works at lower temperatures.
Wisconsin voters see another amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution on an upcoming ballot. This one is on the state's voter ID law. With a liberal majority on the Supreme Court, Republican lawmakers want the law enshrined in the Constitution so it can't be overturned. The Senate passed the measure to add it to the ballot in the spring. The Assembly took up the matter yesterday. This is one of the first things lawmakers chose to take up in the start of the new legislative session. Meanwhile, Democrats say lawmakers should have worked on more pressing issues first, like preventing gun violence. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Doors lead singer Jim Morrison was found dead in a bathtub in 1971. Some believe he faked his own death. A new docuseries, Before the End, Searching for Jim Morrison, takes a closer look at the rock star who was only 27 when he fled to Paris, supposedly to get away from fame. Director Jeff Finn features Morrison's brother Andy and his sister Anne, as well as archival footage as he dives deep into the singer's life and death. The 3-episode documentary can be streamed on Apple TV for $7.99. Stop the presses. Robert De Niro will be playing a gangster in a new mob film. If that's not fun enough, De Niro's rival gangster in said mob film will be played by Robert De Niro. The film Alto Nights will tell the story of a 1950s dispute between legendary New York gangsters Frank Costello and Vito Genovese, who were once best friends but became adversaries. The film will be directed by Barry Levinson. How great would it be if De Niro received an Oscar and a Razzie for the same movie? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A patch or two of freezing drizzle or flurries possible this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight and rising temps through the 20s. Warmer tomorrow, more clouds, a high in the low 30s. Upper 30s Friday. For the weekend, much colder temperatures and a bitter breeze. Currently it's 19 degrees.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In the first week of the new session of the Wisconsin State Legislature, Republicans fast-tracked a measure that would put a question on the ballot in the upcoming spring election that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Two things on this. First, it is telling that Republicans made this their very first order of business. Senate Democratic leader Dianne Hesselbein responded to this, saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans wanted to focus on, but a constitutional amendment. Telling, isn't it? But that leads to the second piece. Republicans are clearly doing this for politically motivated reasons. By having this on the spring election ballot, they're betting it will make it more likely that people who showed up to vote for Donald Trump in November will be heading to the polls to help elect right-wing candidate Brad Schimmel to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. That election is on April 1st, so buckle up.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special edition. Jeff Wright, candidate for Wisconsin Superintendent of Public Instructions, will be here live. We'll spend a half an hour getting to know him and why he wants the job. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, January 15th, 2025. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, welcoming into the studio, Wood County Youth Risk Behavior Survey is what we're going to be talking about with our friend Nikki Lucht. She is the epidemiologist with Wood County Health Department. Did I get any of that right, Nikki?
Epidemiologist.
Thank you. This is pre-recorded. I could fix that in post. We're not gonna. We're human beings around here, and we're gonna have, especially because I want to dive right into this topic with you. First, Happy New Year to you and yours, and the whole Wood County Health Department. Big thank you to all of you and your staff over there, Nikki. Let's dive right into this survey, this youth risk behavior survey that was recently out. Where would you like to start with this?
Let's start just giving a little bit of background about what it even is. So the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, or YRBS as we call it for short, is a survey that is done by middle and high school students every 2 years. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction partners with the CDC, and it's done nationally and statewide, so schools have the choice to opt in to do it. So not every single school does it, but we have really good participation here in Wood County. This year, actually, 2023 was the most recent year that it was conducted, and we had a little over 2,600 responses for high school students, which is about 74% of public high school students in Wood County. So a good representative sample we had here. And the survey, it asked things like about safety, violence, mental health, drug use, sexual behavior, nutrition, and a bunch more. It covers a lot of topics. So the Department of Public Instruction calculates all of the data for us and then sends that report out. So once they have that all completed, we try to take that report, which is like 200 pages, so huge, and we try to pare that down, put it into a more of a summary report that's more easily digestible, looks nicer, and is just more useful for our schools, our partners, and community, really.
And Nikki, what is some of the bigger headlines coming out of this survey?
Yeah, so this year, so we have been doing the survey for many years now, and the questions changed a little bit in 2019. So we can compare now since 2019. So there's three different survey cycles since then. So 2019, 2021, and 2023. So the report we created, it has trends in there from the last 6 years, and we can compare Wood County to the state of Wisconsin overall, see how we're doing compared to the state, and then also look at those last three survey cycles and see how we've been doing. Have we been getting better? Have we been getting worse? Where should we focus? So some of the trends when we look at the last few years, one positive is that compared to recent years, in 2023, our alcohol, tobacco, and other drug use have mostly decreased. So that's great. But then some of the other trends that we're seeing that aren't so great, when you look at mental health, anxiety, depression, and suicide rates have all increased since 2019. The percentage of students who have ever been raped has been increasing. Violence is a big one. So there was 105% increase in students who agreed that violence is a problem at school from 2021 to 2023. And then Another big one, the percentage of students who spend three or more hours per day on their phone, Xbox, or other device that wasn't for school use has increased a ton since 2019. So spending a lot more time on devices. So those are the big trends. Hmm.
And Nikki, one thing I think is important to keep in mind with this, one, that we need all hands on deck for this. This isn't, if you're listening out there and you don't have kids, or maybe your kids are out of school or they're adults now or something like that, this still involves you. It's going to take all of us to help with these situations and help with these things and improve these numbers, hopefully, for next year's survey. But when a lot of these things can feel daunting and feel like there's a lot going on and there's so much here, you actually noted something that I thought was really important when you started this with the decrease in tobacco and nicotine and alcohol, that we've seen a decrease in that. When we were kids, if somebody told me there's going to be a day where you can walk into a gas station and there's only like two brands of cigarettes, I'd laugh at you. There's no way I would believe that. Where this country has gone and where society has gone with nicotine and how we have kind of taken that out of a lot of stores, out of a lot of things. I don't even believe that there's menthol is the word I was looking for. Yes, menthol cigarettes now. So I think that we have proven and we've seen that, hey, this stuff can change. We can make an improvement on these things. And so I think we need to keep that in mind, where some of this stuff may seem so daunting right now, 5-10 years, if we put the work in, it can get better. We can improve society and make things better. There's another part of this too, where it feels like for those of us that have always known about mental health and paid attention to it, like we're just welcoming everybody to the party. Thanks a lot for, you know, caring now. But as a society, we really care about this now. It's something we talk quite a bit about. But now that we've kind of gotten that in, now the real work comes in, where we have to do the hard work on mental health and what that means for ourselves as well as for our others. And that part is very noteworthy to me. All of these things are very noteworthy to me. That one stands out to me because whether it is violence or sexual abuse or any of these things, they all lead to mental health. It all ties together.
Yeah, they're all interconnected.
When you see these things, I imagine that, you know, anybody with a heart is going to care a little bit. But I also would imagine that we're okay, now that we have this data, how do we make things better?
Yeah. So this report, this 2023 one that we came out with, we worked with our school partners. We met with them. We asked them, okay, here's our 2021 report. What could be better? What would be more useful this time around? And we heard that they really wanted to know, now what? What can we do? Like, here's all this data, which is great. It's helpful to have, but now what? What do we do? Like, we see that there's some gaps here, or maybe we're having some issues here. So what can be done? So this report is the first time that we have included a section on recommendations. So that section, it provides a whole list of different recommendations to address some of the issues that we saw from the data that Wood County students are struggling with, and to try to help improve some of those different health and safety issues that schools are seeing. And those are things that can be implemented in schools. Maybe they can be implemented in the home, in the community. So there's a range of things that can be done. You know, you mentioned this is really for all hands on deck. This is for everyone. I mean, our youth are our future. So it's not just a school thing, that it's a whole community. We all need to come together. There's a bunch of different interventions that can be implemented, and everyone has a part in it.
Let's kind of go through some of the other details of this too. The DPI included an examination of dispensaries by breaking down the YRBS data by following subpopulations. Can we get into a little of that?
Yeah. So DPI, they break down the data by looking at different subpopulations. So they look at disparities among students. So rather than only looking at all Wood County students overall, they break it down by looking at male versus female, the grade level, the race and ethnicity, sexual orientation and gender identity, the average grades earned. So if you mostly get A's, B's, so on, Whether or not you have a chronic or physical health condition, special education services, and whether or not students is food insecure. So hasn't had enough food in the last 30 days is how they describe that. So when we take a closer look at those breakdowns, we can see where we can tailor and focus our interventions. So a good example is food insecurity among Wood County students overall is about 21%. So about 21% or one in five Wood County students are experiencing food insecurity. And that's lower than the state's average, which is great. I mean, we don't want anyone facing food insecurity. But if you only look at that number of all students, you'd think, okay, we're doing better than the state, so, you know, not too bad. But when you look at it broken down among students that are having a disability or chronic health condition and students who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, so LGBT, they had significantly higher rates of food insecurity compared to their peers. So we can look at that and think, okay, what's happening among those students in particular? Where could we focus within those specific groups to improve that so that they can, their numbers are closer to that of all students rather than, you know, having more challenges.
And we are speaking with Nikki Lucht from the Wood County Health Department. And Nikki, when it comes to that, and not that I think there's way too much put on your guys' shoulders at the health department. So I don't mean to put this on there, but are there things you guys or other organizations are doing to help with this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, schools are already doing a ton. You know, some of the recommendations we have in there are actually from different schools. Like we see some certain schools having a specific program or something that's worked really well, and we put that in there so maybe another school can try to implement that. So we have our schools. There's plenty of different organizations in the community that are doing things. So it's definitely not just the health department. You know, the health department is just one of the many organizations involved in the larger umbrella that we call Healthy People Wood County. So it really takes all of us coming together. One of the things we are doing, I've been on here before and talked about our community health assessment and the survey that was done. And super exciting, we're going to hear it here first, actually. Our community health improvement plan has finally been published. There'll be a press release going out about that tomorrow. And so that is really a roadmap for improving the health priorities that were identified in that community health assessment I had shared back in June or July. And that's really, it's an action plan for addressing health issues that have been identified for the next 3 years. And one of the things in there is actually specifically focused on food insecurity among our students. So that's just one of the many, many things in that community health improvement plan.
First off, Nikki, thank you. We love breaking news. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. But more importantly, that's just great to hear. That just I could feel it in my soul. That felt good. That's really good to hear. And especially about a subject like that, that nobody deserves to be in that situation with food insecurity. So that's really good to hear, Nikki. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited about it. There's a couple new priorities this time around. So the plan addresses multiple health priorities that came out of that assessment. Ones that we have worked on prior include substance use, mental health, housing, transportation, and some newer ones, access to care, which includes dental care, which we heard loud and clear. I remember talking to you about that last time. And financial security is another new one. And we know these are all so interconnected. You know, financial security can affect your mental health. Mental health can impact your financial security. And I mean, there's just so many different ways that they're interconnected. But those are the top priorities that this plan addresses. And this is really meant to be a community plan. So, you know, not just the health department, not just Aspirus, not just Marshfield. It's all of us coming together to have a bigger impact. best. So we really, anyone that's interested, we really want people, anyone who lives or works in Wood County, we'd love for you to join our efforts to help improve these health priorities. There's so many different ways you can get involved. If you want to find more about that community health improvement plan or ways to get involved, you can go to our website, which is healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. You can also request printed copies of that community health improvement plan by calling the health department. Our number is 715-421-8911. Same thing, if you'd like copies of that youth risk behavior summary, you can go on our website or you can call the health department if you'd like a printed copy. We are happy to have people get involved in any way.
And Nikki, as long as we are talking about the this great program, this great organization, you know, we've touched on it before. You've mentioned a number of things about it. Is there anything else people should know? I do think it's a good point. Again, we invite all people who live and work in Wood County to be a part of this program.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just a few other things. If you know, maybe before you get involved, if you deciding if you'd want to get involved, you can find tons of information on our website. So again, that's healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. We have all of the different work that we do on there. There's a section, get involved, so you can learn more about ways to get involved. We have a data and report section, so that's where you'll find the youth risk behavior survey, the community health improvement plan, and all of the other data and reports that we have created or shared over the years. So our website's really a wealth of information. So if you want to check that out, and then, you know, there's something that you're really interested in, please reach out. We also have social media pages. We have a Facebook and an Instagram. So just look up Healthy People Wood County. Give us a follow. We share stuff daily on there. So lots of information if you are interested.
And Nikki, did you have any other notes on the survey? I think we covered everything.
Yeah, let me see. I think for the most part we covered everything. Just that maybe another thing to note. So it is this year, 2025, is a new survey year. So it's on the odd years. So students will be taking a survey again this year. It takes a bit for that data to be analyzed, so we're hoping it'll be a little bit more, a little bit faster this time that we get the data from DPI, but we don't have a whole lot of control over that. So I'm hoping that our next report will come out a little bit quicker, so that it's more real time. So, you know, they're taking the survey in the spring of 2025. Hopefully, I'll be able to share those results with you sooner than 2 years later next time.
Yeah, understandable how these things work, but that would be really cool. That'd be great if we're able to.
Yeah.
And we certainly, as long as we are talking to the Wood County Health Department, want to remind everybody to get up to date on all those shots and keep up to date on your health. You know, especially this time of year, we know how it is. We're talking to fellow Midwesterners out there. You know, keep up to date on those things, everybody.
Yes, absolutely. And one more thing to note about that survey, if you want to see more data, so our report only includes information under the topic areas of mental health, substance use, violence, and health behaviors and outcomes. But there's a lot more information in that full report, and you can find those full data tables on DPI's website. So if you are interested and want to see more, it's all there.
Nikki, cannot thank you enough for the time. Please say Happy New Year to you and the staff over there. We appreciate all of you. If people have follow-up questions and want to know more, maybe about the survey, to see that, or they would like to be a part of or learn more about Healthy People Wood County, how can they find out about those again?
They can go to our website, healthypeoplewoodcounty.org, and reach out. If you want to call, the health department's number is 715-421-8911. We'll be happy to hear from you. And thank you so much, James. Happy New Year to you as well.
Thanks, Nikki. Appreciate the time. And again, if you want to find out more information as well, you can go to their website, woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Nikki, we'll talk soon. You take care.
You too.
Coming up for the rest of the week here at Midday Magazine, tomorrow in part one, we'll visit Rome with Jillian. And in part two, UW-Madison Extension's Anna Mitchell going to join us. Looking forward to those conversations. We wrap up the week on Friday with Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston. Always a good, open, clean, a transparent conversation with the senator. Looking forward to that. And we wrap up the week in part two on Friday with the Port Edwards Lion Club talking about their fishery. Always look forward to that. Every year they join us, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Keep in mind, here at the studios, we have the new guides for the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. Come pick one of those up. We've also got plenty of other things here, and we love to hear from all of you. When it comes to our guests, we always encourage you to get us your questions for these guests, whether individual guest. Please feel free to reach out to us. Get us those questions. You can email me directly, james.maloff@civicmedia.us. James.maloff@civicmedia.us. Encourage you to do that. Otherwise, you can email us info@wfhr.com. Either way should work. We look forward to hearing from you and getting your questions out there. And as always, want to say a big thank you to Pam Hilke, the heart of this station and the main scheduler here at Midday Magazine. Appreciate the work, Pam, and appreciate all of you listening. Remember that you can get the, if you missed an interview or missed parts of the interview, you can get the whole interview, get the podcast, and share it on your social media at civicmedia.us/shows. Just go to civicmedia.us and you'll find our shows, and you can find it, download it, and share it all you like. And we'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel. Hey, Mike.
When I look back on all those years on the road and going on two-lane highways in northern Wisconsin in the dead of winter, it could have been like 10 below outside. One deer jumps out in front of me. I was like, I'm done here.
You're in a ditch and they're not going to find you for 3 days. Dead deer carcass over there and a dead comedian carcass.
Holding his date book.
Somebody might want to call and cancel him at Zanies next week in Chicago.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll catch up with Melissa Kay from WFHR about Central Wisconsin news, and we'll talk to new state senator Jody Habish-Sinikin.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina?
Yes.
Can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. Israel and Hamas have reached a ceasefire and hostage release deal. CBS's Margaret Brennan says the hostage releases will come in phases.
If it holds, even just through this weekend, we could see some families reunited. And of course, that has huge meaning for those who have been missing their loved ones since that horrific October 7th attack.
Hamas is still holding about 100 hostages, a third of whom are believed to be dead. Sports reporter Erica Herskowitz tells us about a big score for women's college basketball.
For years, men's college basketball teams have been paid for playing games in the NCAA tournament. And finally today, the Division I Board of Governors voted unanimously to start paying the women's basketball teams as well.
Another shot fired in the war between hip-hop stars Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
They not like us. They not like us. They not like us.
Drake has sued his own label, Universal Music Group, for defamation over Lamar's diss track, Not Like Us. UMG is also Lamar's label. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media.